Us too. This last week of harvest is going to be maybe a little different than the other 2 weeks. I'm going to recap a little bit, and then I'm going to minister in a small little area, and I believe God's got some breakthrough for us. This series of harvest was never meant to cause condemnation, guilt, shame to be heaped upon us, making us think that we're not doing what God's called us to do. This series of harvest has been one that we've tried to twist and turn and inspire us to step out to what God's calling us to do. God has given us all opportunities for us to serve, for us to work, for us to be present and accounted for us to raise our hand and say, Lord, put me in. Unfortunately, I had an older brother. That's how I'm starting the sentence. Unfortunately, I had an older brother. This older brother was a little bit taller than me and a whole lot faster than me. He was always starting quarterback. I was the number two quarterback. Any of you know anything about backup quarterbacks? You don't play very often. And I remember sitting on the bench all the time and watching him score, watching him win championships. And us, hey, we do the big hoopla, right? I didn't really attribute anything. I played defense and, come on. I wanted to play quarterback. And I remember sitting on the bench this one particular game. I mean, this dude's amazing, right? I mean, he's scoring touchdown left and right. There was one play, the same game. I don't know why I'm describing all this football. Some of you are like, oh, I don't want to hear any more football. One of these games, we had a running back who was really fast, but he fumbled the ball, and the defender picked up the ball and just wide open running 60 or 70 yards for the end zone. And everyone on our team's like, oh, man, but not my brother. He's not here, so it's not like he's going to pop out in this big intro for him. Now my brother. My brother took off as fast as he could after this guy. And this guy gets within the 5-yard line, and he does the typical, brings the ball down, acting like he's going to celebrate, right? What does my brother do? He chases this guy down. He takes the ball. I've got witnesses over here. Unfortunately, I don't have the video. But he takes the ball out of the guy's hand. He doesn't bother about trying to tackle him or keep him out of the end zone. He just takes the ball from this guy and turns around and runs a 100-yard touchdown. I'm not kidding. And I'm standing on the sideline, I'm sitting down most of the time. But this play, I get up and I'm like, ooh, do it, Joe. And I can't stand him, right? I mean, we fight all the time. And I'm like, I'm cheering him on. You can do it, Joe. I mean, the whole place is going crazy. He scores a touchdown. It's no thing to him. He's like, what? Well, don't fumble the ball next time. I won't have to do all that. And I remember sitting on the bench going, okay, this is my spot. This is where I belong. I couldn't run as fast as him. I couldn't throw the ball near as far as he could. My sport was basketball. He sat on the bench in basketball, but this was football, different sport. And I remember that heavy feeling I felt on the sideline. This is my place. I'm supposed to stay on the bench. And, so what happens? My brother graduates, and I have the opportunity to play quarterback, and I'm not near as fast. We have the same kind of offense where you're supposed to run around and throw the ball, and I don't do any of those things very well. I can throw the ball good. I can't run like he could, and we never won the championship. We got murdered. We got creamed, all this stuff. We went to the championship game we went to, and I remember the defenders coming up to me, and we played these guys every year. I remember them looking across the lines like, where's your big brother at? And I'm like, oh, man, it's going to be a long day, Where's your brother at? No more, you ain't. And they're just talking smack, and it's like, this is going to be a long day. But I remember the feeling that I was supposed to stay on the bench. And so then when I'm in the game, all I can think about is, there's that bench. I don't feel the pressure. I don't feel the weight. I'm saying all this is because at times in our lives, in our walk with God, God is doing miraculous things in our life. He's healed us. He's saved us. He's redeemed us from sin. Boy, and some of us, I'm not pointing fingers, but some of us have been forgiven from a lot of stuff. Amen. I mean, a lot. I mean, some of us, we'd just be honest, we could spend all afternoon, thankfully we have food here, we could spend all afternoon here talking about everything that God has done for us. I mean, it's a long list. But yet, at times, we still feel like God can't use us. And God will use someone else in a greater capacity than we're being used. And we'll say, well, that's their, you ever said it? That's their ministry. That's what they're really good at. That's what they do. And then we get a little gut check within ourselves and say, I can't do those things very well at all. I don't have those giftings. I don't have those abilities. Have you ever said this? Or is this just me? This is all stuff I deal with. Maybe it's all for me today. And it's okay. Thank you for coming to my session today. It's all for me. But see, what we can find the enemy doing is sneaking in and making us think that we all belong on the bench, that we're not good enough. I mean, now, my father's here in attendance. My father could probably say I did belong on the bench. He was at many of those games. And there was times I couldn't throw the ball very well. I'd throw two interceptions, and I'd be like, man, just throw, stop throwing interceptions. I'm trying. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, it's much safer at the bench. You ever said that to yourself? It's much safer. So what does all this mean? What we're trying to say about harvest? That we can at times find ourselves in seasons where we want to stay on the bench. And God loves us. I mean, we're swimming in God's love. I mean, we're just enjoying the love of God and so thankful for His forgiveness. Oh, God, you've been so good to me. But I still belong on the bench. Let me just enjoy the love of God from over there. And we read this last week. I love this. I gave Benji a lot of scripture. You have your scripture with you. You can open this up. I read this last week where it's John 4:35. And I had my whole bucket. I don't have a bucket today. But last week I had that bucket. And we talked about Jesus encountering the woman at the well, where Jesus intentionally went out of his way to go search and made sure he was there early and waiting for this woman. This woman, I talked about this last week, this woman going to the well at an unusual time. Instead of in the morning to get the water she needed for the day, she went at an unusual time. She went at 12 o'clock, noon. And she goes and gets this water so that she won't have to talk to nobody. She won't see nobody. Why? Because she's a woman who how to say that nicely. She, somebody else, a woman who what? What labels would we put on this lady, this woman? Bad choices, yeah. Unvirtuous. Whew. Who else? Anybody else have any labels we could put on this lady? Descriptions. Promiscuous. Good one. Good one, bro. Anyone else? Anyone else? Ashamed? Whew. Anybody in here dealing with those titles? Those titles we cast towards that lady. Anybody struggling with any of those titles right now? See, I love this because what Jesus does is he sends off his disciples. You can read this, chapter 4. He sends off his disciples, and Jesus goes from a long journey. He's thirsty. He's ready for something to drink. But he ain't there to get something to drink. He's there to fulfill living water in a woman who searched in every nook and cranny, every single thing this world has to offer, and still cannot find fulfillment. And so Jesus doesn't see her as someone who is dealing with shame. Jesus doesn't see this woman as someone who is promiscuous, all these wonderful words. You guys are laughing at me. What did you say? You said unvirtuous. I mean, Jesus didn't see this lady this way. You know what Jesus sees this lady as? Worthy. What a beautiful word. Worthy. And every other human with their eye looks at this woman and says, boy, God, don't use her. Jesus, if you only knew, you wouldn't even be out in public with her. No, you need to run away from her, Jesus. And Jesus runs to her. I love this because this is a great example for us. Tells his disciples in verse 35. Now, this is when they bring him food. This is just after this encounter with this woman. Jesus tells his disciples in chapter 4, verse 35, don't you say 4 months or more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Jesus tells his disciples to open his eyes. This is the NIV. Look around you. This is the new living. Lift up your eyes. And the challenge is for us again today. Are we willing to lift up our eyes and look around us? Or are we running for the bench? Running for the bench. I don't know why this is such a football analogy. The Cowboys aren't losing today because they're not playing today. So it's not a Cowboys day. This is a day that the Lord is wanting to reveal something to us if we'll open our hearts and receive. the same love, the same title, the same feeling that Jesus had for the woman at the well is the same title, is the same feeling he looks at you and I today. This love, this overwhelming love, this love that we don't deserve. And the truth is today that Jesus, fulfilling the will of the Father, took on the sin and shame, and in return gives us eternal life. I preached this yesterday. Yes, I preached this yesterday at the wedding ceremony. I preached my heart out because I felt like the Lord told me to, number one. But number two, I got this cross that just keeps staring at me in the corner. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I had it up here and we moved it because there was some, I can't see the screen as well as I wanted to. I'm like, oh, sure. So if anything, I put it right here. This is where the cross belongs, right? But the cross speaks so loudly to us of God's love. God's love. God's love is never ending. It chases us down. There's might be someone here this morning that's struggling with, am I good enough? Am I worthy enough? And here's the awesome thing about it, to say to those who say, I know God loves me, I'm basking in his love. Well, are you showing it to others? We all have people in our lives. See, we get filled up with God's love for what reason and purpose? For us to go home and shut the door and enjoy it? No, we get filled up so that we can give out, so that we can pour out what God is pouring into us. His love is chasing us down. His love is here. I ask you if you can have ears of the Spirit and hear what heaven is singing over all of us. Heaven is singing, boy, I'm proud of you. Proud. Proud of you. I mean, I know this is a right turn that I'm sorry, but this is just, I'm so proud of Sarah Yee. I woke you up. I know, I'm proud of you. She's just wrangled our children's ministry. She's brought leadership. She's not wrangling the kids, but she might have. No, I'm just kidding. She's brought leadership. And, you know, to Amy and I, we sit back and we say, man, thank you, Lord. Because that's part of our church that we want excellent. We want God's love flowing in that room with the kids, that they can hear the voice of God at that, not wait until they get a teenager, no offense, teenagers, great teenagers, but they can experience the love of God at their age now. And as me and Amy say, well done, boy, could you hear the voice of heaven, the voice of heaven singing over you and over all these children's workers. This is such a beautiful sight, loving on children. And as simple as that illustration is, God is singing over all of us right now. How do I know this? Boy, God's love is never ending. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I love this scripture. Romans chapter 8. I'm starting in verse 31. Romans chapter 8, 31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dare accuse us, whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us the right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from God's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecution or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Come on, some of y'all just need to stop right here and read that sentence a few times. Because this is the voice of the enemy. The enemy is screaming out that we're not good enough because of our weaknesses. We're not good enough because we don't have enough discipline in our life. We're not good enough because of our kids. We're not good enough because of our marriage. We're not good enough because of our job. The enemy is yelling at us all the list of everything that can prevent us from God's love. And what does God do? Consistent, faithful, show us love. He doesn't look at what you're doing, what the situations you are. He looks and says, my daughter, my son. Some of you need to read verse 35 a few times. Verse 36 says, as the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day, for we're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Verse 38, and I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears for today, or worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We put a big amen on that, God. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, that you lavish your love on us, that you extend your love, that we can never run too far away from your love, that, Lord, our decisions, our sin can't draw us to a place where your love don't reach, but your love rescues us, your love reaches us, and, Lord, we thank you that we are accepted as sons and daughters for the kingdom. This is the whole point of the field of dreams. God has given us all fields. We talked about this a few weeks ago. He's given us all responsibility. And it's about time that we stand up and say, I can be counted for. I can be one that will take responsibility of the field. What field has God given you? Well, the field might be something on your job or on your workplace. Your field might be something in a difficult situation. Your field may be somewhere where you just got fired. Your field may be somewhere where it's worrisome. Your field may be somewhere where you're not welcome. All these things, God has given us all different specific fields. And it's about time that we raise our hand and say, I will be one who will be responsible for my field. And the challenge today is for us to be prepared, to be ready to share our redemption story with everyone we come in contact with. We all have different stories coming to Christ. You know why? We all been through different stuff. My stuff's different from your stuff. It's not worse. It's not better. It's just different. It's amazing the way we show love is usually based on how much we've been forgiven from. Don't look at me weird-eyed when I'm up here jumping and dancing and singing. It's just an outward expression of the way I feel God's love. I don't look at you when you're sitting there with your arms crossed and saying, come on, entertain me some more. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't look at you judging you. Don't look at me and judge me the way I worship. All of us worship in response to God's love. Some of us have been saved from a lot. Some of us are still being saved from a lot. Some of you perfect people who don't ever sin, who don't ever struggle, you're going to be teaching us seminars on how to actually achieve that because I live in a real world. And I have kids. That's another thing about my life, right? I didn't say I'm married. I said I have kids. Be careful the way we twist this, right? But some of you work in environments that can really challenge your faith. Anybody ever do that? Anybody go to school and it challenges your... I mean, it ain't like it's all heaven everywhere we go. And the beauty of this is God... Even though we fight it, but God has sent us into those places. God has led our steps into those. Some of you, Lord help me. Some of us are constantly complaining about the assignments God has given us, and the enemy is using that to distract us from accomplishing our mission in that place. Some of us are like, man, Lord, please deliver me from this job. I pray don't say, deliver me from this church, but deliver me from this job, right? Lord, this job is just, it's amazing the way if we walk in with eyes like Jesus tells us to, look up at the harvest. Now, can we just take a time out right here? I want to explain this because I love this portion. Now, Jesus is explaining this to his disciples. His disciples have seen him do miracles. His disciples have seen him in his ministry, but the climate around these disciples is not all heaven, okay? Please understand that. There's constant persecution on every turn. There's constant political shaking in this time where Jesus is walking, and he's walking and pointing the disciples to say, look, here comes the harvest. And I think some of those disciples are going, it almost feels like we ran out almost everywhere we go. Where's this harvest? Okay, Jesus, because maybe we're thinking, wait till everything's perfect and then the harvest begins, right? Wait till I got all my stuff in order, all my mess in the right place, and then I can go and do and be what God's called me to do. and wait till everything's great in our nation. Our nation is falling before their knees, before God's humbling themselves. Lord, heal our land. I'm not seeing that in our nation. I'm seeing complete opposite, aren't you? In the darkest of times, God brings us harvest. In the darkest, scariest of moments, God can bring harvest. And I believe Jesus is just forecasting. He's prophesying to these disciples. He's telling them, the harvest is ready. We take this position, even within our church, we can do this. Say, God, we're ready. Bring in the harvest. We got the kids' ministry. We got the things vacuumed. We got it smelling good in here. Bring them in, Lord. And God's looking back at us and saying, you're the worker. We're not responsible for the harvest. Don't get me wrong. I can't go saving and healing and touching everybody. Where's the workers? Where's the workers? This is what I do. I'm not casting this out. This is coming this way first. And if it lands, go ahead and pick it up. If it doesn't, just ignore it. I can forfeit myself. I can find myself retreating back to the bench. Because I get a feeling that my life has to be in order before I can be a mouthpiece for God. I can feel like my kids got to be perfect and not have chocolate all over their face, you know, and not be the ones screaming in the checkout line, right? And I'd be the one that on the verge of losing my cool, right? But see, my kids perfectly behave, then, oh, maybe this is a good time to share God's word. You know, maybe this is a time to turn and ask if I can pray for someone. Maybe this is a time to just turn and show some love towards somebody. But see, I forfeit myself so easily. Do you ever do this? You ever feel like this has been a very difficult season in your life, a time in your life? I want to get my stuff together, Lord, before you can use me. I love this because God's not needing perfect people to work in the harvest. He's needing open people, available people. And what a beautiful testimony this is. A beautiful testimony is not saying my life's perfect, so come and be perfect like me. The testimony, the power in our sharing the gospel is, you know what? I go through the fire too. Things aren't perfect in my life. The difficulty comes. But in the midst of the difficulty, I'm not alone. Amen. That in the midst of that fire, we turn. Nebuchadnezzar, didn't we throw three of those boys in there? I got three dudes on the front row. How convenient. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Or you want to act it out? He said, no. Nebuchadnezzar said, I threw three of those guys in. Why do I see four in the fire? I love this. Because Jesus, this don't preach real well, okay? This don't build big crowds and, woo, a lot of cheers. But you may be going through difficulty here in this life. I'm just telling you. That just because we confess Jesus and we love Jesus and we serve him doesn't mean our life's perfect. Now, I'm going to stand on this side and say this, okay? It doesn't mean you go about sinning and doing anything we want. We're called to live holy lives, set apart. Okay? Doesn't mean we belong on the bench. What that set apart means, that there's a light inside of us. There's a hope inside of us. There's a purpose inside of us that's different than chasing after what we see in this world. That we are ready at any opportunity to be used of God. What a great opportunity for us to share God's love and saying, in the midst of my difficulties, he is still with me. God, we thank you for being with us in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of fire, in the midst of times where we don't feel equipped, where we don't feel adequate. Lord, we thank you for your love that draws us back to a place of remembering what Christ has done for us. Lord, let us never stray so far away of remembering how we've been redeemed and rescued. Because, Lord, what you want to do in our lives, you want to do through our lives. And God, I pray that you would give us eyes, spiritual eyes, to see what Jesus was talking about when he said the harvest is here. And Lord, I pray for an equipping of your Holy Spirit to bring us to a place of saying, Lord, use me. Instead of the enemy bringing shame and guilt and condemnation, Lord, we rebuke that and renounce that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask for fulfillment of your Spirit in our lives. Lord, make us more like Jesus. Holy Spirit, do the work inside of us. Lord, we ask that we would love like you love us, that we would accept like you have accepted us, that we would speak life the way you brought life into our lives. We would motivate, encourage, and be the first to say, put me in, Lord. Put me in, Lord. No longer do I take a passive approach, scared to be used, but Lord, we say, put me in. Put me in, Lord. Use me. Use me. Speak through me. Pray through me. Love through me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I ask you over the next few moments. I ask you for the next few moments to think about, pray about, allow the Holy Spirit to start enlightening you ways where we can show love to our fields. Ways that we can go above and beyond. Ways that we can, I don't know, whatever the Lord may lead for you. It might be differently for you than me. Sometimes it involves money. Sometimes it involves buying things. Sometimes it has nothing to do with money. It has to do with action and love and time. Sometimes it involves you to say something, speak up. Other times it involves you to shut up, stop talking so much. The Holy Spirit's going to give you design. The Holy Spirit can give you ways that are far above any creative ways we could ever think of. Once again, the point is not to say you got to come to church, because the church is God's tool he uses, but the answer is found in Jesus, amen? So Lord, we pray over the next few minutes that you would just let your love, let your acceptance, let your joy resonate inside of these walls and resonate in our hearts. Lord, I pray right now that your love would break down every barrier. There may be someone here this morning that says, I just can't accept this love, or this love just can't reach me. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. You're right, I don't. But God knew. That's why he sent Jesus. And Lord, we ask right now that your love would break into our hearts. Your love would break down any barrier that we have in our minds that says we're not good enough, we're not accepted. Because Lord, we do believe your word. We speak your word over our lives, that you've adopted each one of us into your family. We now belong to a family. Lord, we thank you that you've accepted us and that you know us, Lord. Over the next few moments, we just have a time of meditation before God, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us.
The sun sets free. Oh, it's free. child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Yes, Lord.
I am chosen. Yes, sir.